Okay. Please don't put the tape on. Now, I'm going to call my message this morning, Realms of Anointing. I recently shared with you that I believe that this year will be for us a year of the release of anointings. From time to time, God releases new anointings, fresh anointings, special anointings, for a particular work that he is going to do. And in each of our own lives, he may bring an anointing into your life and then a little later on, another anointing. And there are different realms of the anointing. This is so important because it will empower us to be much more effective in accomplishing our goals and reaching the harvest. Who wants to work without power? I don't. That's how you wear yourself out. But if you work in the power of the Holy Ghost, then the empowerment just keeps coming. The strength keeps coming. You'll remember that in Luke 4:18, that key scripture where Jesus says the anointing was upon him, and he told what the anointing was for that was upon him. And he said it was for the purpose of accomplishing what God had sent him to do. God doesn't send us to do something and then say, there you go. Have at it. Do the best you can. See you in eternity. Do you know that there was something taught at one time called deism, which meant that God created the world and said, well, do the best you can. See you later. Thank God that was never true. He empowers us to do what he calls us to do. And giving the anointing, as God gave Jesus, that was a sample and a picture of what he does for each of his children. He anoints us with the power that we need and the particular power that we need to do the thing that he wants us to do. And giving the anointing to people is how the Lord transfers his power of his Holy Spirit, to save, heal, and deliver. He does it by bringing his anointing on people and entrust them with ministry. So that's why we have to be faithful to our ministry church. Because this is how people are going to get healed, saved, and delivered, is through our being faithful in our anointings. You know, in the very early days of my ministry, before Shekinah even, a lady came to me and she said, I'm so glad you came to us. You are an anointed teacher. I didn't have any idea what she was talking about because I just started. I didn't even know about the anointment, as one person called it once. My first mentor, Vadina Mack, told me a lot of funny stories, and she told me about getting a letter from a lady, and she said, I want my daughter to travel and minister with you because she has the anointment and she can intercess real good. But I understood that God had done something that had caused me to want to teach, and he put some ability in me so that I could teach and cause his word to be wonderful and real to me, and that's my interpretation of the anointing at that point. So when Jesus said what his anointing is in Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and receiving of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, this understanding that this is God's way, the anointing is God's way, it was his way in the Old Testament as well as the New. He distributed his power, is one way we could say it. You know, God's not stingy. He's not selfish. Jesus loved to pour out on people. He distributed his power from heaven to earth through the anointing. It was very obvious in an individual's life. It was so obvious, you remember, that Elisha prayed, I want a double portion of the anointing that Elijah has. And it came in the form of the mantle, which Elijah released upon Elisha, and he carried on that ministry, only he had twice as much anointing. Now, I like this because Randy Clark will say in this series that we're going to see that he has prayed for many people. The Lord has given him a special gift of praying for anointings to be released in people. And he says he's prayed for many people who now have minister with much greater anointing than he does. And he gave a couple of names. I think Leif Hetland was one of those people. He gave Heidi Baker as an example. And how their ministries just exploded after that. It's amazing how God ties what he wants to do to the ministry of people. You know, ministry through people is how God gets his work done. People who have the idea that they can just have this little relationship with God and they don't need the church or to be involved with the church, they just don't understand how the empowerment comes. It doesn't come through sitting and praying. It comes through the whole package that God has given to his church. And we were blessed by the worship today because Eddie and Andy are anointed to lead in worship. They have an anointing to do that. The sharing that Andre did, there was an anointing on that so that it lifted us up. There was even an anointing on Tommy's testimony. And he said, which I think was exactly in order, you guys need to come to this by Clark because he's right. It's true. It's real. Well, he's here to testify. The scripture speaks of David being the Lord's anointed. That's Old Testament. As well as Samuel, you recall. And others. He promises in the Psalms that he will save his anointed and keep them from harm. He also warns that people should not touch, that is, harm his anointed. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks about it. People who carry an anointing have something special from God. The anointing is the most precious thing you can have when you live on this earth. We should honor the anointing in anybody. Everybody. And people don't have to be perfect to get the anointing. You may not like the way they say shibboleth, but they've still got God's anointing. You need to honor them. Right? All right, Pastor. One of the most obvious examples of how the anointing works is found in the story of the woman with the issue of blood. I really love this. This is one of the violent things that happens in scriptures. The scripture says the kingdom of heaven suffers violent, and the violent take it by force. Now, some people don't get much out of the kingdom because they're not willing to be violent. And by that I mean they're not willing to believe violently. Oh, you mean if I have to pray about this twice, then I just don't want that. It must not be God's will. And any excuse you need to just laze your way through life. In the kingdom, we get things because we step out and take what God has given us. And this woman was violent. She pressed through the crowd. She wasn't even supposed to be there. She was unclean. And she certainly wasn't supposed to touch the anointed man of God. And she did that because she was hungry and thirsty and needy. In Mark 5, 24 through 34, I want to remind you of this. It's such a wonderful scripture. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Now, it's a picture of a crowd. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and that had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Well, at least she spent it on trying to get better. I heard just yesterday about a couple that had been built by their son out of $1.5 million to do all the things and put everything in place so he could become a rock star. And now they were having to go back to work. Whatever happened to common sense? And why do they even call it common sense? It's not common at all. And when he had heard of Jesus, he came in the press behind and touched his garment. She touched his garment. And she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. That means, straightway means immediately. And she felt in her body that he was, that she was healed of this plague. She felt it in her body. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him. Now, virtue is a word that sounds like a pansy word, but it isn't. It sounds like some people, they get lost in the feeling of words. It's the Greek word dunamis, and it means miraculous power or force to do things. So in other words, a great force went out of him, and he felt it. And it was a virtuous force. It's where the word virtue comes from. And had gone out of him and turned him about in the press. In other words, everybody was standing there pressing in. And he said, "Who touched my clothes?" Well, there's hundreds of people here. What do you mean, who touched my clothes? No, but there's touching and there's touching. He didn't mean just who passed me by or who admired me or who reached out. But he means who got something when they touched me. Who touched me in desperation? Who understands the way of the kingdom to touch and take that which I have promised? And his disciples said, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And he looked around about to her to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing that what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of the plague." Right here in this passage of Scripture, there's a world of understanding about the anointing that we might not have gotten if this Scripture hadn't been given to us in Mark. A couple of things, two very important things are clear about the anointing. Number one, in this story, the anointing was on his clothing. He carried it on his clothing. It was so powerful that she didn't even have to touch his hand, only his clothing. And secondly, the release of it was through her faith. That it wasn't just a matter of touching the one that was anointed, but believing that touching would cause something to happen. Remember that Jesus was in other cities, and it said that he couldn't do many great works there because of their unbelief. Even Jesus. Don't you understand? You could say you believe in Jesus, but if you haven't really gotten hold of how to have faith in him for what he's promised, then you don't come into the power of what he said we could have. Today we use the term place a demand on the anointing. We need to learn how to place a demand on the anointing. Because there are measures of the anointing. Do you know this? We're aware, aren't we, that some people are very highly anointed or heavily anointed. And there's some people that have a different level of anointing. There are measures. John 3:34 says that Jesus had the anointing without measure. And without mixture, we could have the anointing without measure. But we've got it all mixed in with the flesh. And the other hindrances to it, the anointing is there, but it's not easy to get it released. So that's why we've been talking about the release of the anointing. As believers, we have the anointing in a measure. Paul also carried a great measure of anointing, didn't he? Because they brought to people handkerchiefs, where he just wiped the sweat off of his brow that came from Paul, just anything that he had touched, and they brought that to people and they were healed. Now, a lot of people today would say that's superstition. I don't know what happened. It's in your Bible. Characteristics of the anointing. Here's three very important characteristics of the anointing. Number one, it is measurable, as I've just been saying. Number two, it is tangible. You can feel it. And number three, it is transferable. Aren't you glad? Now, I keep in touch with people all over the world all the time. I've been in touch with Mike and Kay Chance just recently, for example, and I've been texting with Heidi Baker. Heidi just told me in a text, I've been receiving some great downloads of the structure of heaven. I wish she'd get on her horse and get on over here, so we work on that regularly. I look at her itinerary and see where she maybe sort of might be able to work us in. Now, in the case of the woman with the bloody issue, Jesus felt the anointing go from his body, and the woman felt it come into her body. I started to tell you a moment ago that as I keep in touch with people everywhere, I want to find out if there is a terrific move of the Spirit someplace. Now, let me tell you how simple this is. If there is a wonderful move of the Spirit where God is present and he's really doing things, I can go there and bring it back because it's transferable. Now, that's a wonderful. Now, some people said, well, he can do it here. Hello. He can do anything he wants to do. He can also give it to you so that you can bring it back. Is that all right with you? Okay. All right. In the case with the woman with the bloody issue, Jesus felt the anointing go from his body, and the woman felt it come into her body. The anointing for ministry automatically comes with the call to stand in whatever office God has called you. And part of Jesus' anointing, according to Luke 4:18, was preaching. He's anointed me to preach. Another part was setting captives free, whatever's involved in deliverance. Another part was healing, thank God. And remember, his anointing was without measure. So everywhere he went, people were saved, healed, and delivered. If a person is truly called to preach, God will anoint him to do this by the power of his Holy Spirit. Everybody that preaches is not called to preach. But some are not called to preach are good entertainers, so they get by for a long time with it. And they don't mean to be dishonest sometimes. Some people don't even know you can have the anointing. If he's called to be a missionary, then he'll carry the grace and power to endure and press through. What would be unbearable to a person without this anointing is a joy, no matter how much the suffering. If he carries the anointing, it destroys the yoke of bondage. So don't just think you can just go out and do anything because other people do it. Some people don't really have enough anointing to do certain things in certain levels. That is a fact. But stay before God and find out what he wants you to do. And be willing to be used of God in every way you can. An important point we've got to remember is that David could not wear Saul's armor. Remember? Because, as he said, I haven't used it. I haven't tried it yet. In other words, I haven't grown up enough yet to use armor this big. Some people think just because they heard somebody else say something that if they say it, they'll get the same results. But you better grow up to the size of armor you're going to be ministering in. You see, you have to do that. In other words, he had not passed through certain tests necessary to wear such great and heavy armor. There's a price to pay and a journey to be traveled before we're ready for certain types of anointing. And sometimes part of that price is the little things that nobody sees, like faithfulness. The Lord said to me once, I've called you just to be faithful, and I'll let you know what's next. Some of us can't be faithful unless we've got some great big thing out there, some big picture, something to go to. But why can't we just be faithful? Because he's God. As I mentioned in the beginning of my message, when the Lord called me to ministry, he anointed me to teach and preach his word. It's important to know that the Lord sometimes increases then or adds anointings. Randy Clark tells about how the Lord brought him through progressive anointings. I think there have been about four of them, he said. And he details those. I'm trying to whet your appetite. He tells some very interesting thing. I got it off the DVD. Now he has an anointing to impart or release others into their anointing. You know, this is just a guy that he's just a very ordinary fellow that was a Baptist person. And Rodney Howard Brown prayed for him and brought him out of his cocoon. And he just began to love to see healings and miracles and these things. I spent some personal time with him when he's here. He's just a really neat guy. He's real and he's humble. You know, when I was in Baltimore at a conference there, maybe it's been 3 or 4 years ago now, and all of these other people were there, like Heidi Baker and Bill Johnson and all of these, and Randy Clark, personally, went around and gathered up all of those people, about 6 of them, Cheyenne, you know, all these people that you hear about, and got them to pray for me at one time for my healing. Just took it upon himself to do that. I thought, what a humble man this is. I didn't even know him. It was just such a wonderful thing. Now, the same thing with Kenneth Hagin and many others that I've read after they had anointings that came to them at different times in their lives. Hagin made the statement that some people have never even come into the first anointing that God wants to give them. So I want to call on you today to start desiring the anointing that you need to minister in power, to do the things that God wants us all to be doing. I really do believe in the future it's not going to be the stars that do the ministry. I really believe that people right straight across the church that believe and that experience the full gospel and have the power of the Holy Ghost, I believe we're all going to pray for the sick and we're all going to cast out demons and we're all going to lead people into salvation. It is not reserved for the leaders. The leaders are to equip you to function in these things. And what I'm teaching this morning is one of the ways that I am teaching you to function in what God wants you to be doing. And you say, well, I just feel so powerless. I just feel that I can't do anything. But pray for God to give you more anointing, to give you fresh anointing, to let you be a part of new anointings that he's pouring out. So Kenneth Hagin said that the Lord encountered him and said to him, you haven't come into all the anointing I want you to have because you haven't been obedient. And he said, I thought I had been obedient. And he said, no, you've been obedient to go out and evangelize, but I told you you're also called to be a prophet. And you've been afraid of what men might think. And you haven't done what I asked you to do. And so he told the Lord that he was sorry. And then the Lord restored that to him. It's so good, isn't it, that God forgives us. And lets us just go on from that point. I've been rereading a book by Hagin called I Believe in Visions, and he tells about the 9 major visions that he's had in his life. I'm talking about, because some people don't even know this happens, visions in which, in one, the Lord just came and sat down by his bedside and just talked to him for a long season. Another one, he tells about a vision where he just was able to just see the vision, like you're watching television. And a man on a galloping horse comes and has a scroll in his hand and passes that scroll off to Kenneth Hagin, like in a relay race. And he opens it up. That he was in a meeting, by the way, in a worship service when this came to him. Be sure to come to church and get in worship. Good things can happen there. In fact, it might be one of the prime places to have a fresh touch or get a vision from God. And he said this man handed them vision and he opened it up and started reading it. And of all things, the people in the church, he wasn't aware of this, he was reading it aloud while he was out in the spirit. So everybody in the church heard it. And it was all about what God was going to do and what he wanted him to do. This happened with Fuchsia Pickett many years ago. And Judson Cornwall was the little professor she writes about in her book that wrote down everything she was saying as she lay on the floor. And the Lord opened up her the whole book of Ruth, the book of Esther, I don't know which one it was at that time. And so she would say to the Lord, and what did that mean? You know, and who was he? Oh, I see. And then she would say that. Now, it would be nice if we could get some downloads like this. It'd be refreshing, wouldn't it be good? You've got to start believing largely. One of the things that the Lord told Kenneth Hagin through that rider on the horse was that he's going to hand out many more powerful anointings in the days ahead. and because of the great revival that He also wants to bring. So we have a lot to look forward to because the best is yet to come. Things are not going to get worse and worse. It doesn't matter how bad they are in our country or in any of the other countries in the world. There will be some bad things. But being in the midst of it, God will raise us, His people, up to be deliverers. And then will be the time that people will rush like they did on 9/11. Our prayer meeting was so full you couldn't even get. Our prayer room was full. Probably the last time it'll be that way until something inspires us again. But what was that? That was people knowing how much they needed God. And people are going to awaken to the fact they need God. You know, right now people are playing a game about God. And it's just a little thing now about having certain designer churches. You know, mine has to be this way, mine has to be that way. But they'll wake up one day and say, you know, I need the Holy Ghost. I don't need a church that I make figure out and a God that I make up. You know, if you make up your own idol, then when the floods come and the fires start covering the earth, you have to pick Him up and carry around with you every time you go. And I want to worship a God who will take me where I need to go. The Bible says that. If you make your own idols, then when the problems come, you have to be sure you get your idols and take them with you. One day, this is going to come through like a revelation to our country. And we're going to all say together, haven't we been silly about church? You know, as I look out over the congregation today, it's a nice crowd, it's a nice group of people. You look like you're paying attention. This is the way church is supposed to be. You didn't come to church today to say if you like this song and if you thought the preacher got it all right. You didn't come to be one to analyze what's happening and are we this kind of church. And I'll tell you the kind of church we are, the kind the Holy Ghost brought us into being. 42 years ago, we're not trying to please anybody but God. And we do want to please Him. Where was I? In the pagan. And so people need to come into their anointings and step into them and not be fearful of them. And that's why it's so important to understand about the anointing and to be open to God to continue to anoint you. At first, when I was called to teach and preach the full gospel, because of the anointing, it came to people as if they had not heard the gospel before. You understand what I'm saying? Because it was coming alive because of the anointing, then people thought, I don't think I've heard the gospel before. And this is the power of the anointing, and this is what makes people be drawn then, and their lives will be changed. Of course, they may not have heard the full gospel at all. And the enemy's working all the time to deliver the church of the full gospel. And he wants us to have one-third gospel or half gospel or anything but all of the delivering power of God. He works on that all the time. And in 1980, it seemed that the Lord broadened or increased the anointing He gave me in order to enable me to lead revival and to minister in the realm of bringing others into revival, which I did in a number of places. So because of this, I could go to other churches and nations, and often there would be a similar move of the Spirit there. It's almost like that anointing was being transferred through a person. In 1994, I came into another anointing, different from anything that I had touched before, 1994. Some people call this the river movement, or the river. As Heidi Baker says, she lost $1 million, a pledge to their ministry in one day. It came from this one large church. But they told her in order to have this gift, she couldn't go to the T place or the P place. The T place was Toronto, and the P place was Pensacola. And she went to both. And she said, I'm telling you, it was worth $1 million. Because it was there that she came in touch with, in Toronto, she came in touch with this fabulous anointing. Now, wouldn't that have been awful if the devil could have bought her off for $1 million? And because I've had different people ask me to explain this about. In 1994, I've had people ask me about that was another measure of anointing. It was a different anointing or a different level of anointing than I had received before. And in this anointing, as you know, many of you were here, it was very tangible. And it happened after I had been to Toronto, but you all didn't know I had gone. So you couldn't be predisposed to thinking this. So it was all God. And you know that I was praying for some people and a wind blew the back of my hair up. And then people just started falling. Just the instant I would touch them or even walk near them. Because, well, why was that? Well, that's how God chose to do it. I promise you can expect some different things next time God moves. And the best thing to do is jump in the river. Just get into it. I'll tell you, like Kilpatrick did when he said, I'm just standing there, and it felt like, this is so funny to me, a huge wind blew. He said it felt like a telephone pole was being pushed between my legs. I can imagine that feeling. And he said, and my feet turned over on the sides, both of them, and I couldn't get them straightened out. And so I stood there until I fell over, and then I think he said he was lying there for about an hour and a half. But he said, before I went down, I had the presence of mind to say, this is it, folks, get in. And so those were very beautiful days. It went on for over a year that every time we had a meeting, this kind of thing happened, and people would fall to the floor. The main thing that happened with people was they were healed emotionally. They were healed of deep wounds of the past. And I could tell you some stories that would really bless you. But, you know, and people came into a relationship with Jesus that they had never had before. How many think we need that again? How many think we need to come into a fresh relationship with Jesus? And some people were physically healed as well. And I believe that the Lord wants to give new and increased anointings, and we need to understand His ways. Listening to a tape by Kenneth Hagin confirmed to me how it was working through me after I received this anointing. I didn't even know, I suppose, that I received it in Toronto, but I didn't especially feel anything that day. I did fall to the floor, and I didn't get up till about 30 minutes or something, and I cried so much that tears went into my ears. I remember just lying there. It was such a funny feeling, but I couldn't move, didn't want to. It's just kind of like being out in the Spirit. That's the only thing I know to say. But, you know, there are a lot of churches that don't even know about this. And then there's those that don't want to know about it. And we already do. That's what I tell people that say, you know, I've told people that they said, did you ever have any problem people saying things about you being a woman in ministry, preaching? And I said, I did have some people say some things, but they got to me too late. If you want to push God out, try to get there before He does. People think that the devil, it's the devil when people speak in tongues. I mean, in America, I'm telling you, I've been in the nations of the world, and the hugest, biggest churches all speak in tongues. I don't know why we can't catch on in America. We're so stuffy. One of these days, we're going to need God enough that we're going to open up and say, let me speak in tongues or whatever if it's going to help me. So I was listening to this tape by Kenneth Hagin because I got a little bit mystified, even kind of just had some questions. And so I asked the Lord if He could help me understand this, because there would be times that I would have a certain feeling in my hands and that I would know that the anointing was there to pray for people, then that they would come into these blessings and their needs would be met. And many times I had no idea what God was doing or what He wanted to do But it was my job to just be faithful. And I was listening to this tape by Kenneth Hagin, so he told about how he came into his anointing for healing and how Jesus came and put his finger, one in his right hand and one in his left hand, and how then after that, people began to be healed in his ministry. Well, I thought that was the end of the tape. I was listening to it in bed, and I was just about to go to sleep, and I said, but I wish that I knew what connects that anointing, what it is that, and if I had some understanding about when it will happen and that sort of thing. So the next day, I turned it on, and he said, and now I'm going to tell you how that is activated. I slept all night with that, just laying on the bed beside me and didn't even know it. And so the next day, here's what he said. He said, the Lord said to me, tell people about this encounter that you've had with me. Tell them what happened to you. Tell them what I told you. And tell them that I put my fingers in your hands and what I told you to do from that point. And he said, when I would do that, then that anointing would come. And this is what I discovered, that again and again and again, if I would tell about how I entered into that anointing in 1994, that when I would tell about it or talk about it, then the anointing would come. I think it shows the importance of testimony. And that really became a reality to me. Now, there are rules, I guess you would say, by which the anointing works. They're rules in our mind, or laws. God just does whatever he wants to do, but he's such an ordered God that he seems to do things in a certain way, and he expects us to learn his ways. Now, there are other ways that people are healed, touched or healed. That is, I pray for people to be healed and to be met, and my prayers are answered. But this is a specific way that God works that is a specific blessing to people. And 1994 is a long time ago, and it still happens. It still continues to happen in my life. It really kind of amazes me. People who don't believe in healing and don't believe in God really coming to you and ministering to you today, they just need to get places where it's happening. I don't know how you can stand back where you never see it and say it never happens. It just isn't not happening where you are. That's the whole thing with it. So it's important to know that the anointing can increase or decrease. An increase will be felt when we fast and pray. I think probably all of you noticed an increase in the own anointing in your life. Even an increase in the anointing to pray in our week of prayer and fasting. That's what they were doing in the Bahamas recently. They were having 2 weeks of consecration and prayer. And I got there right at the end of it, so the atmosphere was terrific. Because people had prayed things through and everybody was so open. I call it a rotten tomato crowd. That they'd say hallelujah and praise the Lord if you threw rotten tomatoes at them. They were just, it just didn't really matter. And I want to make sure that I mention to you as well, because this is something that Hagin said. If you sense the waning of the anointing in your life, fast and pray and you'll see it return. I told you when I started teaching on the anointing that on a particular Sunday, I sensed the anointing profoundly that day. And I started seeking God about that because I said to him, Lord, I want that anointing every time. I want to feel that every time. So I started spending time with the Lord in the evenings. And it's been wonderful what he's been showing me. And I anticipate seeing the anointing increase, advance, and the Lord opening up more anointings. And more places for that anointing to be used. Because I spend more time with him and allow that to happen. You know, apparently it was acceptable for Elisha to desire a double measure of Elijah's anointing. You know how I know that? Because he got it. He prayed for it, and he got it. Sounds greedy, doesn't it? That's just because we're so skinny. We just haven't been used to having super abundantly above all you can even ask or think. We need to know that God is a very gracious, very generous, very giving God, and he's not jealous of you. As the scripture says, we're going to do greater works even than Jesus did. He says it in his word. I didn't say that. So get ready to do great things. That's what God's calling us to. Randy Clark, you know, said that he's accustomed to people getting more anointing than he has. He's just gotten used to it. That would keep you humble too, wouldn't it? All of us want to be open, because these are the days that greater anointing is needed in order to reap the harvest. We can expect God to take us into more powerful realms of the Spirit and flow his gifts and anointings through us more freely. Even those of you who have been, you've held back up to this time, but now you're coming to the place where you're getting hungry to see people healed, to see them delivered, to see them saved, to see the Spirit of God work. More and more, God's going to cause people to be in our midst that we're not going to be able to help much just by being friendly. And they're going to make a demand on the anointing if you will keep praying before God and keep your anointing levels up, where there's something there to be drawn on out of you. I would hate to think that all church is coming to church and going through some things and maybe learning something out of the Word and going back home every day and nothing more. But church gets exciting. It's what they say in Africa. The Swahili is the word imagine, and it means we come together to see what happens when we get together. This is what I believe church is, and I think this is what church is meant to be. We're coming together with expectation. We expect something to happen. We expect to touch God here. We're not letting each person make their speech and just trying to please everybody and all of that. It's not about a program. It's about a personality named Jesus Christ. It's about worshiping him. It's about letting the Holy Ghost have his way. And I really have the sense that God wants to do new and fresh things. If you read, you need to read your bulletin. We have a new author of the bulletin now. You've seen she's a little bit on the zany side occasionally. We decided that you needed to perk up a little bit. We had to read that twice about Marissa today before we got it. But we got it. So if you didn't get it in the bulletin, you need to look at it and see if you can get it. And several things that have been in the bulletin. Some people have asked who Lee Grady is. How many of you don't know who Lee Grady is that we're having for the June conference? It's okay if you don't know. Because we like to bring in fresh people. But I've been wanting to have Lee Grady for quite some time. And he ministers especially. He writes the last page in the Charisma magazine. It's called Fire in My Bones. And it's an editorial each time where... He swims upstream. He's done it all his life. He's out for truth. He believes in living a holy life. He believes in miracles. He believes in women in the ministry. He's written a book called 10 Lies Churches Tell Women. And he has a ministry called Mordecai Project. And it's to oppressed women all over the world. And he ministers a lot in the nations of the world. The eyes of the church is being opened up now to see how many oppressed people there are that we need to help see them let go. And I believe that he'll be very inspiring to us about the nations, as well about these other areas where God has anointed him. His schedule is very busy. And he didn't have room in his schedule to respond to my request. But I wrote back, there's another couple of three people we could get, but you are our first choice. We really believe we need to hear from you. And I got a letter back, he's going to be able to work it in. So I appreciate the way God takes care of us. You know, God doesn't want you guys to be bored. You don't have to listen to the same old person all the time preaching. The Lord's got, He's got a lot of people who have a lot of things to say to us. You know, through the years, it's been really wonderful how God has allowed us to drink out of different wells. And really, Lee Grady is a deep well. Actually, he was one of the ones that prophesied to Jane when she was away and helped her find her way back home. That was good. And he is prophetic. That's another thing that I was meaning to say there. I just want to talk to you just for a second here before we close. I'm just wondering if there's anyone here this morning that you've never given your heart to Jesus. And I just want you to know that it doesn't take anything other than saying, I surrender. You don't have to be better than you were yesterday. Don't try to get good enough to be saved. That'll wear you right out. And I'm telling you, we preach in this house God's great grace. And He gives you, if you will be willing, He gives you the grace to walk in His truth. You tried it before and you failed. But you're not going to fail this time. And another thing is that we're going to be praying for you. And we're going to try to help you find those wonderful things that God has put in you. You won't just be sitting around watching us, but we want you to get into what's happening and to be a part of it with us. Let's bow our hearts in His presence just a moment. And if there's anyone here today that you haven't given your heart to the Lord, or maybe you're backslidden, and you need to say, I want to come to Jesus today. I want to surrender my heart and life to Him. I want to serve God. This way I'm living is not working for me. And I'm a needy person. I need healing. Or I need deliverance. I need to know Jesus. I want this personal relationship that you're talking about. Is there anyone before we go that needs to lift your hand and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? That's what I need. I want to say yes to Jesus today. I want to surrender my life to Him. I want to be saved. I want to be born again. Whatever it is you understand, then I want to give you the opportunity today. This altar is always open. You can always give your heart to Jesus here. Just lift your hand right now if you want to say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I want to say yes to Jesus. I want to surrender my heart and life to Him. I want to make that turn today. And I believe that you'll give me the grace to walk in this, and you will heal me, and you'll break through on my life. You'll give me a whole new day. I want to drop this burden of guilt and shame and confusion, and I believe that your blood will cleanse me and make me whole. Anyone, before we close the service today? He died for this, and He's here for you right now. I want you to know that His door is always open. And Scripture says that you can come boldly to the throne of grace by the blood of Jesus. No devil in hell can keep you from saying yes. It is completely your decision. Is there a backslidden person that wants to say yes? I was talking to a lady in the Bahamas at a restaurant. And I just asked her about, was she serving God? And she said, well, I try, but it's so hard. It's a lot easier to backslide, she said. And I said, are you backslidden now? She said, yeah, I've just been trying so hard. And I wanted her to know you don't have to try. You have to surrender. And so maybe you're backslidden today and your heart is not warm to the Lord and you know you're not yielded to Him. But today you're encouraged and you want to say, I want to come out of my backsliding and I want to go forward with Jesus. If that's your desire, would you raise your hand? I just felt to do this today because I just felt like the Holy Ghost is brooding over people today. And you came to church this morning because He drew you. I hope you'll come next week and weeks following that. I want to pray for us today, and I'm believing God that he's going to continue doing the work that he started in this house today. Lord, we just believe you. We believe you in this place tonight, that you are a mighty Savior, that you save to the uttermost. There's nothing about us too difficult that you can't get us out of it. And you can give us a brand new day. You can cause our lives to be abundant and full and rich. And this is the desire of our hearts. Lord, I declare that there is freedom in this house. There is freedom here to drop the load of bondages and to be free from the oppression. And if the Son sets us free, we are free indeed. Hey, while your hearts are still bowed in his presence, no, I want you to stand for a minute. You've been sitting a while. And I just want to say this to you today. If there's someone that feels oppressed and depressed, I want you to lift your hand or both of your hands, because I want to break that thing off of you. And I want to believe the Lord today that when you go out of here, you're going to say, I feel so different from when I came in. Come on, let's bow our hearts. I want to pray for you. And if you are that one that's oppressed or depressed, you need to be set free from anything or whatever, I want you to lift your hand while I pray this morning. Lord, I thank you to see the hands this morning, those that feel the need of being broken out of this bondage, this oppression. By the way, if you're a member of this church, if you've been serving God 20 years, you can still be oppressed or depressed today. Now be free to receive from God. Lord, I break oppression today. I declare your lordship. I thank you. If the Son sets us free, you're free indeed. Lord, we're not trying to heal ourselves. We're coming to the healer. And we praise your wonderful holy name that we are the healed of the Lord in this house today, and healing flows through this house like a river. And thank you, Lord, for fresh anointings into our lives. Would you just lift your hands all over the house and let's receive that fresh anointing he wants to give us? We don't necessarily know what it is. We're not really sure what we're asking for. But we reach out to you and we say, more, Lord. I want more. I want increase. More of your power. I want more power to pray and seek your face. I want more power to pray for others. I want more power to succeed and completely fulfill the destiny that you set for me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for fresh anointings all over this house today. And thank you for increased anointings so that we can be all you want us to be. We thank you, Jesus. Lead us, Eddie.
Anointing, fall on me. Anointing, fall on me. May the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing, fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing, fall on me. Can we sing it one more time?
Anointing, fall on me. Anointing, fall.
Hallelujah. I believe today that the Lord has inspired and encouraged our hearts. And we're stepping out into a fresh new year. It's the year of the release of anointings. And you want to make sure that the Lord knows that you're a candidate for a fresh new anointing this year. This year's not going to be like last year. And you're going to step out and move in this new day. Be sure that you hug a few people, share the love of Jesus before you go. Remember Tuesday morning, Friday night, prayer meetings. We'd love to see you there. Wednesday night, Jane is teaching. Wonderful, wonderful teaching that we're having on the Song of Ascents out of the Psalms. I really encourage you to be there. Help you to grow and really